بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that even though we don't have lights, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us other forms where we can still get some type of lights that can function. We have the generator that causes the emergency lights to go up, the mic system to work. All these things teaches us many lessons. We should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other parts of the world, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and many other African countries also, they don't have so much of means. They don't have lights like how we have. And even if they have generators, all of them can't afford generators. So sometimes we take things for granted. Or many times we take things for granted. When there's no water, then suddenly now we're all pareshan. There's no lights, we become pareshan. So all these things, they are lessons. We should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, you have blessed us with so many ni'mats. And sometimes slightly the ni'mat is taken away for a little while. And how restless we become. Then of course, this floods that took place with the heavy rains, Allah Ta'ala give all those people who suffered any loss, or any type of material loss, or lives were lost, or nuqsan to their homes, properties, institutions. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala remove the difficulty from them. Allah help them to repay all the losses that they had to undergo. Now this is the material loss. Imagine the spiritual loss that we suffer. This heart we have, we don't realize the hasad, the pride, and so many other maladies that come into our heart, like the flood that comes in suddenly, it wipes out everything. But what does a person do after this and flood? And immediately he goes and he repairs. Immediately. So many brothers and sisters last night, entire night they were mopping up and cleaning. So we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it easy for every person. Allah, don't test us in any way. These nuqsan are not easy. They are difficult. But the person immediately, he repairs this thing. He brings a special machine to suction the water. And the wall has collapsed and he makes sure that now he repairs the wall. Like that, the nuqsan that is done to our heart, with the pride, wipes out all our a'mal, affects our iman. The hasad, the malice, we don't leave it there. Immediately we try and repair it. We try and rectify. We try and reform it, we make islah. And that is the purpose of this majalis, that of course the speaker himself is most in need. There's no tawazu or tasannu. And by mentioning these malfuzat of akabirin, and of course ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we discuss these things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plays special nur in these things. And the nur comes onto our hearts. And many times, because of one sincere person sitting there, maybe some mother, sister listening in the madrasa or at home, or some brother sitting here, because he's so sincere, then Allah ta'ala makes certain things come out of the tongue, without the speaker realizing what he's saying, but there's hidayat in that for so many of us. And Allah Ta'ala looks at the sincerity of some people and Allah accepts such gatherings. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah first of all elevate and remove the problems, sufferings of the entire ummah, especially those who suffered in loss through the floods or through the rain last night. And of course there's no light, even in madrasa I believe there's no light, but some of them have still gathered there because they are thirsty. So Allah Ta'ala accept their coming. But now we always have to have some contingency plan. If there were no emergency lights that we have, or lanterns or candles, then everybody would be in darkness. Sharia tells us to plan, to prepare. La aqla ka tadbir. Beautiful words of Rasulullah says. Sharia doesn't tell you just sit down and make tawakkul and now mashallah, you are wali of Allah and everything will just happen. Nothing will happen. We have to plan. Any businessman, he plans, especially this month of December. Nobody plans at the end of December, they plan long in advance. weddings in our family long in advance. Trousseau is brought from India, and the furniture from China, and so many other things, and the card from Pakistan, the wedding invitation cards. So long in advance we're planning. And for other things also we should plan and have things ready in case of emergency. Same thing for deen also. We should always plan and see how we're going to adjust ourselves. This is a program. Now let me see how I can adjust myself so that I can participate in that program which is going to be beneficial for myself. So last week we discussed, and we said we'll discuss each week a sahabiya of Rasulullah. Today we discuss a sahabiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this sahabiya is one of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore she is the mother of the believers, Ummul Mu'mineen. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. I have chosen to speak on Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha because very rarely we talk about these wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas they are extremely important, just as important as the other wives which are quite famous, Sayyidina Khadija, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was a daughter of Huyay bin Akhtab. He was a Jew. In the battle of Khaybar, which was fought against the Jews, then her husband Kinana, he was killed by the Sahaba. She was married before to Salam bin Miksham. When he died, then she married Kinana. She was the daughter of a very prominent Jew. He was the leader of his tribe. So she was also there in Khaybar. When her husband was killed, she was taken as a captive. Like the other woman and the children, they were taken as captives. The men were killed. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he brings her and another woman who were taken as captives. He was bringing them, escorting them towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. But as they were going past, they went past by the corpse and the bodies of their family men who were killed in that battle. And Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was about to lose herself, become emotional. But she says, I became speechless and no sound even came out of my mouth. The other woman, she began to scream and she began to slap her face and pull her hair. That's what the time of Jahiliyyah they used to do. And she was a non-believer. And they bring her to Rasulullah and bring her to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see his rahmah. He said, Ya Bilal, anuzi'at minka ar-rahmah? Hina tamurru ma'a imratayn amama qatla rijalihima? Who kama qal? Oh Bilal, is rahmat and mercy, has it been snapped out of your heart that you actually bring these two women past the dead bodies of their own household people? You should have taken another route and brought them the other way around. Why must you go past there and they will see their own family men killed? Obviously they're going to become upset and emotional. You disbelievers, but look at the rahmat of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many narrations, historians write extensively. Some say that then, Dihya al-Kalbi, radiallahu ta'ala, very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Dihya al-Kalbi, this for information, he was such a sahabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, many times he would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and adopt a human form. And when he should adopt a human form, he should come in the form of Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu. So just look at this. So Dihya al-Kalbi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I require one servant and slave. So can you give me one of the slaves that are captured? And the Kareem said, go and choose whichever one you want. So he chose Safiya. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, Dihya has chosen the daughter of Huyay bin Akhtab, who is the leader of his tribe. It does not befit him to take the daughter of a leader of a tribe. The daughter of a leader of a tribe should come into your lot. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called Dihyal, Kalbi, Dihyal, Kalbi, says, Ya Rasulullah, immediately, she is yours, you can do whatever you want to do. Rasulullah frees her. When he frees her, then he asks Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, do you wish to marry me? She says, why not? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marries Safiya. She accepts Islam, she is freed, she embraces Islam, and then she marries Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her mahar was her freedom. Mahar was her freedom. So this happened in Khaybar. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took her to a place called Sahfa, just out of Khaybar. And then this nikah was consummated, walima takes place, and there was no lavish function whatsoever. It might be strange for us to hear this now, and I hope our mothers and sisters are listening as well. Because every time there's a wedding, there's afat in the house. And this is the truth. Who are we going to invite? So I got 50 people from my family, and I must also have 50 from my family, husband and wife, they're fighting. Then how many are going to call from the other side? The boy side or the girl side? They only call 20 now. We must call only 20 also. Why we must call more? And what we going to make? And who, what's the menu? And carries on and the hall and this and that. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatul Ali, years upon years, he should cry the same cry. So much of israf. Nobody is saying you mustn't be happy that your daughter is getting married, your son getting married, and making like a mayyat. Nobody is saying that. But there are limits of shariat. One is hudud of shariat, and one is mizaj of shariat. Hudud of shariat is, shariat tells you you can go as far as there. There's nothing wrong, it's permissible. When you reach here, that's haram. But there's a mizaj of shariat. What shariat expects from you, what shariat desires from you. What is the speed limit? 120. Doesn't mean you have to drive 120, no? They expect you, if there's so many cars, to drive slower. So shariat has a mizaj. So the mizaj of shariat is for you not to become extravagant. So like that, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the sahaba, he said, whatever you have, bring it. He spread out a leather mat. Somebody brought some dates, somebody brought some ghee, somebody brought some cheese, somebody, whatever little they had. There was no bread, there was no meat. Sahaba ate. Everybody was happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed there for 3 days at Sahba, and now when he is departing, this is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He himself, he goes forward, he brings the camel down, makes it kneel down, and then he takes Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha himself, he mounts on the camel, he makes her sit properly and comfortably. What do we do? Which day we ever open the door for the wife? They say, if any husband has opened the door of the car for the wife, one of two things, the new bride or the new car. One of the two. Today we don't even open the door for mothers and fathers. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We look for big, big things. We look for big, big things in Sharia. Big wazifas. Long ahadith. Powerful bayans. These are the smaller things, small in our eyes, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to bring into our lives. This makes a person a human being. Of course, there's so many things that are now just coming to mind. But we'll just leave it to what we are discussing now, otherwise the time will expire. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken his own jubbah and covered Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, so no other sahabi would see her. She's in hijab. She's a Muslim. She's a sahabiya. She's a mu'mina. And she's a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's not a slave woman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then notices there's some green mark in her eye. Very unusual. A bruise. So he asked Safiya, what is this? She says, when I got married to Kinana, then I saw a dream that the moon is falling onto my lap. So I got excited, I told my husband Kinana, last night I saw the moon falling onto my lap. So he smacks me very hard on my eye. He says, you wish to marry the king of the Arabs? referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew the interpretation of dreams. And he knew what this noon signified. That this was referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falling onto her lap, meaning that he is going to marry her. So he smacks her. That was the bruise that was caused a green mark in her eye. Now Safiya radiallahu anha is brought to Madinah Munawwara. She stays in the house of Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anha. You must remember his name, Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anha. Such a generous sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he had many plots and homes around Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you go to Rawza Mubarak, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha's house, next to her were the other wives' houses. So around there, four or five houses belonged to all Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anha. Each time Nabi Karim got married, when he came to Madina Munawwara, and they required some quarters for his wives, Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anha very generously donated his house to Rasulullah. You keep it. He himself moved from his house far away. Away from the house of Rasulullah. He sacrificed being there, right there. He could have kept one quarter for himself. So Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anha's house was given to Safiya radiallahu anha. Now she stayed at his house. Safiya radiallahu anha, Allah Ta'ala had blessed her with ajeeb beauty. She was extremely beautiful. She's our mother. The talk was already spreading in Medina that Rasulullah, this wife of hers, is extremely beautiful. So the Ansari woman and the Muhajirin woman, they began to go to visit her now, to see what she looks like, who's his new bride. They all are very curious. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, very worried, covers herself full barda, and she also goes to peep at this new bride, who's now also the wife of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to understand, they were married to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no ordinary human being. And each one wanted the fullest share of him for herself. They found it very difficult to share Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will become very envious. There are so many incidents. If we have the chance one day, we'll give the incidents of some are very humorous also. That how they reacted, how they behaved towards one another when they saw that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is visiting this wife, or she's getting the better of me. And they would go and boast to the other wife that this happened to me, or Rasulullah did this for me, and this is my virtue and my blessing. So they all go to see her. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu also goes, very quietly she goes, so nobody must see her. Rasulullah said, made the house. He sees Aisha radiallahu and going quietly. When she enters the house, Nabi Karim is waiting. When she comes out, she goes, Aisha, how was it? What did you see? How was Safiya? Safiya, oh, that Yahudiya? The Jewish woman? She shrugs her shoulders. That Jewish woman? Allah, but Nabi Karim became upset. This is Safiya, Aisha. Don't say that. She is a believer. وَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهَا. Hardly even married. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bears testimony to the fact that her Islam also is beautiful. She has perfected her Islam already. Aisha, you should not see such things. One Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, they're traveling, and Safiya radiallahu anha's camel happened to be very weak, so she's lagging behind the whole caravan, and of course delaying the rest of the Sahaba. So Rasulullah sees that Zainab, his other wife Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had a spare camel. He says, Zainab, why don't you lend your spare camel or give the spare camel to Safiya? She's battling and she's holding us back. So if you lend her this camel, then we can reach our destination quickly. So obviously she was not happy. She's very reluctant. My camel, I must give it to that Jewish woman or the daughter of a Jew. It is mentioned in the Kitab that Rasulullah became so upset with her, the whole of the Hijjah, the whole of Muharram, and part of Safar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not visit Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha's wife. He broke ta'alluq with her. He didn't go and visit her even. Hatta ayistu minhu. She said, until I became I lost hope that perhaps now Nabiya Kareem will abandon me totally. But after that Nabiya Kareem goes to her, he wanted to teach her a lesson. These are not things that you should use and play around with. Aisha radiallahu anha, similar also. One day Nabiya Kareem is talking something about regarding Safiya. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, that short one, that shorty as we say, or tigni. Nabiya Kareem said, oh Aisha, you have said such a word, that if this word has to be mixed with the oceans, with the seas of the world, lamazajadtu, ifasadadtu, it will spoil the entire ocean. The ocean, the sweet ocean, becomes sour and bitter. Now it happens that these are all incidents. Doesn't mean that the other sahab, the wives, the other azwad mutahharat are evil, ma'adallah. As I explained, most of us won't know, but those people who have two wives, they can understand. The wives will understand what they go through when they see the husband is doing with that wife and this one, how she feels. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend his time equally with all his wives. Equally. He was fair and just. But as I mentioned, that each one wanted to have maximum benefit from him. And they wanted to be number one in his eyes. And he must love them the most. So Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, daughter of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, one day they started some musty, as we say, and they started teasing Safiya. Oh, you know, we are more honorable in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are honored, and we are more closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than yourself. Why? Because besides being the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are related to him. We've got some family relationships with him. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells, he sees Safiya radiallahu anha crying. Safiya, what has happened? He says, Aisha is saying this, Hafsa is saying this. I'm feeling so miserable. I'm just your wife. And they say they are your wives, plus they've got some relationship with you, family ties. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Safiya, why didn't you give them this answer and reply to them? That you are the daughter of Harun alayhi salam, the niece of Musa alayhi salam, and the wife of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi. Alhamdulillah. So therefore, you only mention this to Habib, one who loves you, is your well-wisher. And Labib is one that who has got intelligence, who's got aqal, and who can interpret dreams well. Ulama have mentioned also that a gunegar also can see a true dream. It's not only a pious person who sees a true dream. A sinner also sees a dream which can be true. A person who sees a dream which is true, who is seeing himself, mashallah, strolling in the gardens of Jannat, this is no certificate whatsoever for him that he is a Jannati and he is a saint now, he is a wali of Allah. In fact, this is a test on him. What he must do, he must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is giving him some strength. Any person, who sees, who does any good work, he starts a hifz class, or he's in a madrasa, or he changes his life, he joins the work of Dawud and Tabligh, or he takes bear to a sheikh, and now he's making tazkiyah of himself, or he's doing some charitable work, or he's helping the poor, the needy. Any person who does some good work, many times you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give him some type of strength, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him see a good dream. Now this is merely to strengthen him to see, mashallah, you're moving in the right path, you should continue in this way. But it never means that now you have become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like that, many important things have been mentioned, like Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, the dream he saw about the 11 or the 10 stars, and the sun and the moon making sajda to him. Imam Razi rahmatullahi says that a good dream a person sees, the dream only comes true, becomes a reality, sometimes many years later. Many of us see a dream now. Last night we saw a good dream, we expect today, now we're waiting for something good to happen, nothing happens. Yusuf alayhi salam saw this dream, some scholars have written, Quran doesn't mention this, Some Mufassirin have mentioned that the reality of the dream where he saw his 10 brothers and then the father and the mother coming to him and then making sajda to him at a much later stage was 40 years after he saw the dream. He saw the dream when he was a child. 40 years later, the reality came, or it became a reality. So Imam Razi rahmatullah explains this. He says, a true dream is either good or bad. If it's a bad dream, then the effect of it happens very quickly. You see the reality of it very quickly. But a good and true dream, which is good, Allah prolongs the reality of it. Why? Allah wants you to enjoy that anticipation of yours, waiting to see some good gun happen to me. You see yourself going, mashallah, into Riyadul Jannah, or making Mu'anaqa with Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you're reading Salat inside the Kaaba, or some good dream. Of course, everything there does not mean if you see yourself in the Kaaba, always it means a good dream. There are many interpretations to that. But nevertheless, if it's a genuine good dream, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, Allah prolongs the reality of this, so that this person, the word they use in the tafsir, bahja, this surur, this happiness is prolonged, that he's waiting to see one day this dream will become a reality. So the important thing is, when you see a nightmare, then Sharia has told us what to do. When you see a good dream, then there again Sharia has told us how we should react and who we should tell our dream to. Otherwise, whatever interpretation is given, then this is what's going to take place. And therefore, the Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib has mentioned that let not a good dream deceive you. If a person sees a good dream, for example, he's with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he must check his life. Is there any new sunnah coming to my life? Am I becoming more closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? How many sunnahs have now come into my life which were not existing before? If these things are not taking place, then this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this dream is not true. Of course, if you saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream, then it mentioned hadith and genuinely that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because shaitan can never take the form and shape and figure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Shaitan can take the form, shape of your father, mother, sheikh, your ustad, your brother, your sister, your father-in-law. He might be telling you, you know what, all that warso I left is all yours. So now you see, I saw the dream, my father-in-law came, and all that inheritance is mine. This is nothing. Dreams are not a hujjat. Understand this. Dreams are not a hujjat. I mean, they're not a proof. If you see a dream, doesn't mean now this is the truth, and this is now you go tell everybody, I saw last night in a dream that you were stealing money from the cupboard. There's no such thing as that. Sometimes it's a true dream that a person sees, but because of many other thoughts, because remember, different people have different type of tabi'at. Some people's heart is not so strong. Some people become emotional very quickly. Some people get scared very easily. Some people get worried very quickly. They become anxious very easily. So the mizaj of the person, the nature of the person also has an effect. Sometimes it's a true dream that he sees, but he can't recall exactly what he saw. So certain things that he would have liked to have seen, or certain thoughts that were playing on his mind, that hadith al-nafs, gets mixed up with the true dream. Very important point this is. The true dream that he saw, but the person can't recall the entire dream properly. There were other thoughts, that's why he thinks, I'm not sure if I saw this or didn't saw this. I'm not sure if I was dreaming or wasn't dreaming. Many times you say this, I'm not very sure if I was dreaming or wasn't dreaming. I think it was like this. So now he has mixed up that good dream with his own thoughts, and therefore the interpretation will be different. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had seen this dream, and his father tells him, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَقْصُصُ إِيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had made him a Nabi, and he interpreted the dream, he understood the meaning of the dream, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's brothers are going to plot against him. Therefore he warns him, he said, don't mention this dream to your brothers. lest they devise a plan against you. What the plan was, he didn't tell Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. From this we can understand also that Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam realized that his other sons also, they also understood the interpretation of dreams. Because the interpretation of dreams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects people. He doesn't give every person the ability to interpret dreams, as I mentioned. So perhaps they could understand from the dream that this is the meaning of the dream. And therefore he tells him, warns him. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a little child, who Mufassirin say, perhaps he went and mentioned this to his brothers, forgetting what his father had warned him about. But Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. They're going to plan and plot against you. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is an open enemy for insan. So shaitan will prompt the person towards evil, towards mischief, towards harming the next person. These brothers, they are going to be prompted by shaitan to go and cause harm to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam forewarns Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وكذلك يجتبيك ربك. In the same manner, meaning just as Allah ta'ala blessed you, O Yusuf, would sing this beautiful dream. 10 stars, the sun and the moon, very unusual dream Allah is showing you in your childhood, which is a very good, very great dream that you are seeing. In a similar manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to choose you. The word is used, yajtabika. Ijtaba, yajtabi in Arabic means to draw some person closer to you. In other words, to select him, to hand pick him, to choose him for yourself. They say, جبيت الماء. In Arabic, when you use this word جبيت الماء, it means إذا خلصته لنفسك. When a person says that the word they use جبيت الماء, water, means he has taken the water solely for himself. So in Arabic, when you want to express this point that I took the water solely for myself, and I became exclusive, or I selected it for myself only, then you use the word جبا, جبيت, or جبيت. So Allah uses the same word in another verse. Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Allah chooses, Allah draws that person towards him who he wishes to draw closer to him. Allah makes him his muqarrab banda. From the thousands and millions and billions and trillions of people in the world, Allah chooses certain people and makes him his nabi, his messenger, his rasul. Allah then chooses certain people to become his wali. And Allah chooses certain people to become his muqarrab. Allah chose certain people to become the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah chose us to be in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha. So Allah draws a person closer to him, who he wishes to draw closer to him. Wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. And Allah guides that person who turns to him. You want hidayat, you gotta turn towards Allah. The moment you turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will guide you, Allah will draw you closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Like this, Allah is gonna give you material wealth. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam will then become in charge of the treasures of Egypt. He'll become the king. Imagine, look at his destiny. He's a little child, and we'll see just now that he's thrown into the well, bottom of the well. That's the end of him. But Allah's power, that Allah then raises him. Allah selects him. Allah guides him. Allah chooses him to be his Nabi also. And Allah gives him such great miracles that he performs. Allah gives him such knowledge of deen. Allah gives him such a strong iman. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And oh Yusuf, Allah will teach you the interpretation of dreams. There are two, three other dreams also in Surah Yusuf, as you will see, and how Yusuf al-Islam interprets those dreams. So Allah gives him the ability to interpret dreams. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ, and Allah will complete and perfect His bounty over you. And what is the bounty? There is nubuwwat. Allah will make you His Nabi. وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْحَاقُ, like, and also on the sons of Yaqub, the other sons. His differences of opinion among the scholars, Mufassirin, whether they were prophets or not. Many of them said they were prophets. And there was a, this was an error they had made before becoming a prophet, before getting Nubuwwat. So there's detailed academic discussion. That's not our purpose now. Point here is Allah had blessed the other sons of Yaqub alayhi salam also later on. When they made Tawbah, Istighfar. The whole family of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed. Allah says, just as I bless your father Yaqub and his father Ibrahim, or Ishaq, and Ishaq's father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah once, Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, man akramun nas? Who's the most noblest of people? So Rasulullah said, Al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. Who is that? Yusuf, who is the noble one, son of the noble one, that is Yaqub, son of the noble one, Ishaq, son of the noble one, Ibrahim. Sahaba said, no, we're not asking you this. He said, oh, the most noblest person is Akramukum indallah. The most noblest is the person who is Attaqum, the most taqwa, in akramakum indallahi attaqum. Attaqum indallah, the one who has most piety. Then he's the most noble. He said, no, we're not asking this. Then Rasulullah understood what was the question. Sahaba were concerned that before accepting Islam, many of them had high positions in society. Many of them were prominent people. Some were leaders of tribes. Some were in charge of various things in Makkah. After accepting Islam, what happens now? Do they lose this position that they were enjoying before? Are all the status and all this everything given to somebody else? Nabi Kareem said, no. Khiyarukum fil jahiliya, khiyarukum fil Islam. Those who are prominent in jahiliya, they will regain and retain their prominence and position in Islam also. If you were looked up in society in time of Jahiliyyah, you were a leader, and people used to honor you, in Islam also, after accepting Islam, you will maintain that position. One condition. إِذَا فَقُهُ, when you get the understanding of deen, you must have the knowledge of deen, you must know the ahkam of shariat, what my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, what Rasulullah s.a.w. is teaching me, what Allah expects from me. When you have this, then Rasulullah s.a.w. said, in the same position you enjoyed in Jahiliyyah, you enjoy still in Islam. In one riwayat, Nabi Kareem SAW said, "Annasu ma'adin." The people, human beings, are like the minerals we see in the mines. The precious raw material, the gold, the silver, the pearls, the emeralds, the different minerals a person gets in the mines. Each one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some quality which is precious in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody has tolerance in him, somebody else has another quality, good quality. Some people have more qualities, good qualities. Some people lesser. But if a person really looks down and deep, like he goes deep into the mine, he'll find a gold, he'll find some silver, he'll find some diamonds, he'll find some precious material, some mineral. Like that is insan. Each one has to be, we have to search for the good quality in each Muslim brother and sister of ours. We just look at the person's face, surface value, and we already pass a judgment. But if you look deep down, there's so many people outwardly, they don't look dindar. Outwardly, they may not have a beard or kurta, topi and things like that. The lady may not be in hijab also, you know, saying must do this. But you'll find they have generosity in them. Oh, they have such love for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever there's some disaster, they are there first, helping. And they do things not for show, with sincerity and ikhlas. Imagine that woman who was a prostitute, I think I mentioned 100 times already. We've heard it so many times. That woman was a loose woman, immoral. All she did was she gave that thirsty dog some water to drink. On that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her completely and Allah granted her Jannah. Therefore, we should not become judgmental. Look and search for the different qualities we have. So Rasulullah then mentioned that those people who had prominence in Jahiliyyah, they were still retained their prominence, they will still be looked high up in society, but one condition is that we have the understanding of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Next Monday is Ashura night. Our terminology is big night. It's not really a big night. It's the 10th of Muharram, which is a big day. And of course, great virtues of keeping Rosa, inshallah, in the course of the week, Thursday, inshallah, and Friday also we're here. We can keep Rosa on the 9th and the 10th. That is Monday, next Monday and Tuesday. Or Tuesday and Wednesday. So you keep 2 Rosas, 9th and the 10th, or 10th and the 11th. There are some riwayats, so you can keep 3 Rosas. You can keep 9th, 10th and 11th. The ulama have said that you should avoid keeping this one Rosa only on the 10th. Some said it is makruh also, simply because the Yahud used to keep Rosa. When Rasulullah went to Medina, he found that the Yahud were keeping Rosa on the 10th of Muharram. And he asked him why. So he said, no, because Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from Fir'aun, and therefore we are keeping Rosa out of gratitude. So he said, نحن حق وأولى بموسى منكم. That we are more deserving of Musa alayhi salam and emulating and practicing what he's teaching, of showing gratitude to the fact that Allah saved him, because we are closer to him than you. So we should keep Rosa. But Rasulullah said, لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعَ لَإِنْ بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلٍ لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعَ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَىٰهُ وَسَلَىٰهُ. If I have to live the next year, the following year, then I will add one more Rosa. I will keep Rosa on the 9th. So the ulama say to keep 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. A person's previous year's sins are all forgiven by keeping the Rosa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah ta'ala help us to seek hidayat and guidance from the Quran and Sunnah, from the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and accept the coming wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Musallis should use the wash basins in toilets with no water in wudu khana. For 3 minutes, just make a quick dua. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اي ميموس كريم رحيم الله forgive us all our sins from major sin minor sin كبيره صغيره يا الله those sins were عمدا خطا knowingly unknowingly وما لا يغفر الرحيم يا كريم يا ذا العرش المجيد يا فعال لما يريد وما الله everything is in your control يا الله. Ya Allah, help us, Ya Allah, to spend these Mubarak days, Ya Allah, correctly, Ya Allah. Give us the strength to keep Rosa, Ya Allah, in these Mubarak days, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the understanding, the faqahat of deen, the samaj of deen, the understanding of deen, of Quran, Sunnah. Make us change our lives, Ya Allah. Make us become good, salihin, good, pious people, Ya Allah. Oh, Ya Allah, years have went by and we haven't even understood the Quran, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq, Ya Allah, to sit in the gatherings where Quran has been mentioned, tafsir has been. Ya Allah, and the hadith of Rasulullah has spoken of, Ya Allah. And the malfuzat of Salafi Salihin, Kabirin are mentioned, O my Allah. Give us the noor of all these things into our heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to implement the deen into our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all of us, Ya Allah. Remove all of our difficulties and problems, Ya Allah. Especially those brothers and sisters, Ya Allah, who were struck by floods, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there were nuqsan in the homes, Ya Allah, or the businesses, or the institutions, or the shops, or wherever it may be, Ya Allah. The damages that took place, my Allah, you repay all the damages, my Allah. Ya Allah, whatever loss they suffered, Ya Allah, remove that loss, Ya Allah, and replace them with better, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us barakat, rahmat, Ya Allah. Give us afiyat, give us afiyat, give us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, jain, sukoon, rahat, perfection, Ya Allah. Protect us from all balaafat, musibat, dillat, hawan, shurur, fitan, mihan, takalib. Forgive all the murhumin, Ya Allah. Accept all our duas, give us shahadat in your path, give us baril, jannatul baqi. Allah give us, Ya Allah, mawt in Madinah Sharif, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, make us stand up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give us jannatul firdaus without any reckoning, protect us from the fitna and the azab of qabr and azab of jahannam, and protect us from all types of fitna and fasad, especially the fitna of dajjal. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.